The U.S., Canada, and Mexico have a new trade agreement, but they are still fighting. I'm Sabri Benishor in for David Brancaccio in New York. Yes, the new USMCA trade agreement would settle a lot of issues, but the agreement says nothing about the U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. From WESA in Pittsburgh Marketplaces, Erica Barris has more.
When President Trump slapped steel and aluminum tariffs on our neighbors in June, Jonathan Doe, business professor at Villanova University, says it changed the dynamic of the NAFTA renegotiations.
I think it probably created a little sense of urgency on both the part of the Mexican and Canadian government because, you know, they would very much like to get out from under these tariffs.
Next up, resolving that tariff issue. That's what Canadian and Mexican leaders said on Monday. Roland Paris teaches international affairs at the University of Ottawa and was a foreign policy advisor to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Paris says these trade disagreements have
reinforced the importance of trying to lock down rules with the United States.
Especially since President Trump said he may replace the tariffs with the quota system. For Canadians, says Paris,
it's also created a lot more of an impetus for diversifying our trade relations with other parts of the world.
And the NAFTA replacement still isn't signed off on. There are looming deadlines. Mexico will swear in a new president in December. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 3 to 5/10% range, with the Dow future down 92 points. Amazon raised its minimum wage to $15 an hour. The company's been getting a lot of criticism for how much it pays its workers. The new wage would cover up to 350,000 employees. Amazon also says it'll start lobbying for an increase in the federal minimum wage. Italy and the European Union are about to get in a fight. The new Italian government proposed a budget, and it has a lot of deficit spending, more than the EU would like. Joining us is David Willey, the BBC's Rome correspondent. Good morning.
Good morning.
So can you remind us, why is this an issue? Italy's debt would be about 2.4% of GDP. Why does Europe care?
Well, Europe has rules about the size of the budget deficit, and the Italian government is preparing its next year's budget. They're going to give rather generous treatment to a general subsidy for the unemployed. The thing is that the finance minister, whose name is Giovanni Tria, he knows that he has to keep within the limits the EU places on government deficits, which are essential to the country's financial well-being. And at the same time, he's the servant of two populist parties that have made unreasonable financial promises.
Now, one senior economic advisor to Italy's government threw a whole bunch of fuel on the fire today. He said Italy would be better off if it just ditched the euro and went back to the lira. Could that happen?
Well, I suppose in theory it could happen. I mean, this is the same sort of language the Eurosceptics have been using in the United Kingdom. But of course, the situation here is very different because Italy is currently running one of the biggest deficits in Europe. I think it's about now 132% of GDP. We're looking here in Italy at a sort of situation which we've been accustomed to in some Latin American countries.
David Willey, the BBC's Rome correspondent, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
TransCanada, the company behind the Keystone XL pipeline, is moving forward with plans to build that oil pipeline. It would start in Alberta, Canada, and end in Nebraska, but in between are some very upset landowners. They say they're not giving up their land without a fight, or at least tough negotiations. Jod Khalil reports from central Nebraska.
About 30 landowners are meeting with a lawyer in Seward, about 25 miles west of the state capital, Lincoln.
It was kind of their first timers here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay.
That's Brian Jorday. He's a lawyer for Nebraska Easement Action Team, or NEAT. It's a group of landowners whose property would be affected by the proposed route of the pipeline. A state regulatory body approved a new route for the pipeline last fall. That means that the company will need to acquire easements on private property to build it. NEET's leadership is against the pipeline, but if it happens, the group wants to get favorable terms for landowners.
There are approximately 173 new miles, based on this new route in red on the screen behind me, 173 new miles that are owned by people just like you.
The Nebraska Supreme Court will hear arguments in November on whether the new route is constitutional. It's not clear how many landowners would be affected by the new pipeline. State, county, and federal officials said they couldn't provide the number. The best estimate is in the hundreds. Some landowners, like Bonnie Cruzy, don't want to see their property used.
We firmly believe that it's money from a foreign country, built by pipeline made of foreign steel, put through our ground in the United States to be sold for the oil to China.
Other landowners aren't really anti-pipeline if the price and terms for the easement are right. Steve Barleen farms corn and soybeans in David City, Nebraska. Another TransCanada pipeline already runs through his property. The new pipeline, Keystone XL, if approved, would too.
There's only one reason, in my opinion, to sign the easement, and it's money.
Barleen is negotiating over how much the company should pay. He wants compensation to reflect crop prices in the future. He also doesn't want the easement group or anybody else to negotiate for him.
Nobody knows my best interest and my farm's interest better than me.
TransCanada didn't respond to requests for comment. It says on its website that a pipeline is more environmentally friendly than transporting oil by rail. In Seward, Nebraska, I'm Jad Khalil for Marketplace.
Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.